Pastor Brandon here with our readings for Friday, February 28, 2020. And it's not the last day of February because it is a leap year, and that's exciting. But what's more exciting is where we're going to be heading in the word of the Lord today. As we seek him together in Psalm 31, 10 through 20, Exodus 6, 13 through 7, 24, and Matthew 20, 1 through 16. We'll first turn to Psalm 31, 10 through 20. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten, like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel, for I hear the whispering of many, tear on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. O Lord, let me not be put to shame. For I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go silently to Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak insolently against the righteous in pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and work for those who take refuge in you. In the sight of the children of mankind, in the cover of your presence, you hide them. From the plots of men, you store them in your shelter. From the strife of tongues. Exodus 6, 13, 7 through 24. But the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a charge about the people of Israel and about Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. These are the heads of their fathers' houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, Hanoch, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. These are the clans of Reuben, the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jechin, Zohar, and Shaul. And the son of a Canaanite woman, these are the clans of Simeon. These are the names of the sons of Levi, according to their generations, Gershon, Kahath, and Merari. The years of the life of Levi being 137 years. The sons of Gershon, Libni, and Shimni, by their clans, the sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Yizil. The years of the life of Kohath being 133 years. The sons of Merari, Mahli, and Mushai. These are the clans of the Levites according to their generations. Amram took as his wife Jochebed, his father's sister, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. The years of the life of Amram being 137 years. The sons of Izhar, Korah, Nepheg, and Zichri, the sons of Uzil, Mishal, Elzaphan, and Sithri. Aaron took as his wife Elisheba, the daughter of Abinadab, and the sister of Nashon, and she bore him Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, the sons of Korah, Azir, Elkanan, and Abiashva. These are the clans of the Korites. Eleazar, Aaron's son, took his wife, one of them daughter of Petuel, and she bore him Phinehas. These are the heads of their father's houses of the Levites by their clan. These are the Aaron and Moseses to whom the Lord said, bring out the people of Israel from the land of Egypt by their host. It was they who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing out the people of Israel from Egypt. This Moses and this Aaron. On the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, the Lord said to Moses, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. But Moses said to the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How will Pharaoh listen to me? And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my host, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them. Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, prove yourselves by working a miracle, then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out through the water. Stand on the bank of the Nile to meet him, and take in your hand the staff that turned into a serpent. And you shall say to him, the Lord, the God of heaven, of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But so far you have not obeyed. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, with the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water that is in the Nile, and it shall turn into blood. The fish in the Nile shall die, and the Nile will stink, and the Egyptians will grow weary of drinking water from the Nile. And the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their rivers, their canals, and their ponds, and all their pools of water, so that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, even in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. He lifted up the staff and struck the water in the Nile, and all the water in the Nile turned into blood, and all the fish in the Nile died, and the Nile stank so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile. There was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same by their secret arts. So Pharaoh's heart remained hardened, and he would not listen to them. As the Lord had said, Pharaoh turned and went into his house, and he did not take even this to heart. All the Egyptians dug along the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the Nile. Matthew 20:1-16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw another standing idle in the marketplace. And he said, and to them he said, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went, going out again about the sixth hour, and the ninth hour he did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I chose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last. First and foremost, I want to turn to our Exodus passage as we enter into what has been famously called the 10 plagues against Egypt, because 10 plagues are going to come against Egypt. And what we need to understand is that God isn't just sending plagues. He's making statements with these plagues. Because the Egyptians had a pantheon of gods. They believed in so many gods. They believed in the god of the Nile, the god of the sun, the god of this, the god of that. And what God is doing here with these plagues, not only is he doing what he says he's going to do, and he's going to send these hardships and these burdens and these pains and sufferings to Egypt to respond to the cry of Israel and to bring justice on the land of Egypt, he's also deconstructing their entire understanding of faith. He's deconstructing their entire understanding of who they worshiped. The Egyptian worshiped the Nile. They worshiped the Nile. There was a god of the Nile. And this first plague, God shows that he has authority over the Nile, that their false god, and I say that with quote marks, their false god, because it was a false god of the Nile, was nothing in comparison to him. God shows that he has power over the Nile. In each plague that comes after this, God is going to show that he has power over these false gods that they worship, and that he truly is the Lord. And isn't that what God says that the point of these plagues is so that they will know, so that Pharaoh will know that I am the Lord. It's important to just understand that as we read this, that not only is God sending plagues, he's also making clear statements. Statements about who he is, and the power he has over all the false gods that we worship in this life. Now, when we turn to Matthew, we are taught this beautiful parable, this parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And I love how the master in the end of the parable replies, take what belongs to you and go. I chose to give to this last worker as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? It's so easy, especially in this modern era of social media, to get caught up in comparisonism. And I know I just created a word, but comparisonism is truly an issue that we face in our culture, in our society. We like to compare ourselves to others, compare ourselves to what's going on around us. We like to compare our church to other churches. And if we're not careful, we can fall into this exact same trap that the laborers in this vineyard fall into of comparisonism. And the truth here is, God is allowed to do what he chooses with what belongs to him. God is allowed to do what he chooses with what belongs to him. And it's important for us to understand this and to live in this fact and understand that God is generous in what belongs to him. He blesses us in what belongs to him. But just because he blesses others in other ways than he blesses us does not mean he's not generous. Does not mean he's not loving. Does not mean he's not merciful. Does not mean that he isn't moving. In fact, it shows that he's moving all the more. For God gives as is needed. And God gives as he chooses. God provides as he chooses. Are we going to begrudge his generosity? Are we going to look at others and say, well, God, why didn't you do that? Or are we going to praise the God who gives all, who owns all? Are we going to praise him for what he has truly given us in all the blessings of this life? The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen. And amen. 'Cause you will seek me.